welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 399 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean? How's life?
I'm doing really well. I got told off because someone said to me, the tone of your voice sounds negative and flat. You need to perk yourself up. I thought, that's interesting. So I'm thinking, have I got COVID burnout? What's going on? So I'm being really positive this week, okay?
Yeah, come on. Hear it. Me too. Didn't mention me, did they? Or didn't mention any...
Yeah, no, they cuts. Said he's not worth mentioning this.
Yeah, sarcastic quips and what have you. All right, I need to...
No, they just told me I wasn't sounding my usual chirpy self.
Okay. Okay, well, I mean, are you your usual chirpy self or what's...
Yeah, I do actually feel a bit flat. I do feel a bit kind of burnt out-ish. In the sense, and I think it is the COVID issue kind of like driving you down. But if I say that, am I sounding negative? You know, I think like everybody else, I'm dealing with difficult stuff, you know. And there are days when I'm like zippity-doo-dah, and there's days when I'm like, oh no. Yeah. And it's getting the balance right, you know. And when the best that you can have, your high spot is being able to go for a walk around the block, you know, that it's like it's a bit tough to get everything going, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, and it's that time of year. We had a bit of snow finally on the Wirral even at the weekend, so that kind of perked up me and the kiddies, and we made a snowman, which is still just out the window there.
He's just still there. He hasn't melted.
For those watching on YouTube, I'll just show you out the window.
Oh, right, yeah.
He's just about there. See him there.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. If you just listen to the podcast, yeah. Check us out on YouTube. You can see we've taken his...
You can see the snowman.
His scarf off because got a bit of rain today and it's going to melt. I think the poor snowman's going to melt, but hey-ho. It happens, doesn't it?
Yeah. Even snowmen have a tough time.
But yeah, no, I can feel that too. It's a bit of a very strange times on planet Earth and it's winter in the UK. So, I just feel like going into hibernation. Maybe humans should try and evolve back into hibernating creatures. You know,
I don't know. When you earlier on, when you were talking about the idea of we need to learn to kind of do less and use less and all that kind of stuff. Maybe there is something about hunkering down in the winter and getting through till you get the spring coming again and you'll get a crack on. Yeah. You know, just we're used to that continual more all the time. You know, and maybe that's one of the things that people are learning in COVID is the things that they don't really need and things that they can do without and all that kind of stuff. You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, cool. We're carrying on with our course, our online course, and it's kind of step two of the book and the course today, which we'll come on to in a second. I'll share the PowerPoint that Sean's got. So again, like I say, these do go on YouTube every week. As well, but you know, we will keep in mind that this is a podcast, so you don't have to. And there's nothing too visual beyond a few slides that just to kind of prompt us along. So liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links and the toolkit. So I'm going to be each week uploading the chapter from the book that you can download free of charge, and there's some other bits and bobs that might help you in terms of meditation files that Sean's we've done along the way. To help you stay on track. Shall I share the screen, Sean, and we'll get stuck into
let's do that.
So we're on step two this week, are we not?
We are indeed.
Which is about self-forgiveness and letting go of the past, which is, I remember doing the course way back when. The forgiveness stage is really fascinating and quite hard work, actually. Do you want to take us about catching up on the last session, first of all?
Yeah. So, I mean, effectively what we're saying in the work that we're doing is that you can't create your future, a positive future, whilst you're being held back by the past. And the two aspects of things that are holding us back usually are things that we hold against other people that we need to let go. And then there's this thing, when in the last session, I was saying about, okay, let's do a list of all the people that we need to forgive, all the bad things that have happened in life. Yeah. And most people in this second session would come back and they'd say, really weird, you know, I put myself on the list as well. But virtually everybody does, because when they're looking at, like, who is responsible for the negativity in my life, inevitably they come back to themselves. So this session really is about being able to look at the other side of the coin. You know, I am somebody who was fundamentally responsible in the way I developed as a person. Doesn't feel like that, because step one is about who can I blame? Okay, I need to get rid of that. Yeah, if I start to take responsibility for me, then I need to look at the negative stuff that I've done as well. And that can be to other people, but it can also be what I've done to myself, you know. Mm. And there are very few people that could look at their lives and say, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm as pure as the driven snow. You know, I mean, we've all done things that afterwards we think, shouldn't have done that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then, yeah, and that can be tough. It can be tough for the people to be doing it to. But when you're looking back, one of the things for me is working with people that come into end of life, when people are going back through things. It's funny how people may be a bit bitter about things that have been done to them, but overall the biggest problem is that realization of what they've done. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that idea about, you know, can I apologize, can I say sorry, all that kind of stuff. But the important thing is that it's this stuff that stops us living in our present. We may not be consciously aware of it all the time, but it's rattling in the back of the cupboard, and it's about how I feel about me. You know, do I like me?
Yeah, kind of stuff. I remember for me as a 9 or 10 year old lad, I threw a cricket ball in a lady's face, one of my friend's mum's face, and put her in hospital. And I still think about that. I'm not sure if she does. She's fine. She had a bit of a black eye and recovered fine. But
that's the. I'm assuming this was an accident, not a deliberate act.
Oh yeah, not deliberate at all. It was at sport. It was like some kind of Cubs sports day, I think. And you had to throw the cricket ball as far as you could to get a certain tick in the box to kind of get your badge. And I kind of tried that hard that I used this weird technique that I wasn't used to doing really for throwing. And it just, the ball flew off at 90 degrees to my left, straight into this lady's eye that, you know, yeah. That's, I mean, I have done other stupid things in my life, but that's,
yeah, yeah. Thing that I, but who hasn't, that's what I mean. And part about, part of that being honest with yourself and being able to let go of all this stuff is so, so important, you know?
Yeah.
So let's just go back through the forgiveness bit, because people get confused about that, because people tend to think that being forgiving means that you're saying that what the other person did was okay. You're kind of excusing their behavior or excusing your own behavior. And right, that's not the case. Forgiveness is to forego, and forego means to go without or to renounce something. Mm. And essentially what we're doing is, what people call karma is like a bit of emotional acid that connects us to another person or an event. Yeah. And in foregoing, in renouncing, what we're doing is we're letting go of our end of the elastic. Now, it could be that you've got an ex-partner or you've got someone out there where there's this negative elastic between you. Yeah. If you let go of your end of the elastic, what they do with their end of the elastic is up to them. You can't change that. You can only change your end. And that's the bit that's important, is you being able to let go of your bit. You can't change other people. They have to do that to themselves.
Well, when you let go of something elastic, or you snip it with some scissors, it tends to snap back and hit the other person in the face.
Well, it could do if it was a direct interaction, you know. But if there can be people that people are needing to forgive who... maybe they don't know where they are anymore. They could be anywhere, but also they could be dead. But it's still relevant to go through the same process of letting go. Just because someone's dead, you can't, doesn't mean to say that you can't let go of your end of the elastic. You don't have to have an interaction with the other person to do that. Mm-hmm. All these bits of elastic, all this negativity that we have with other people, are the things that hold us back. And very often when we're looking at ourselves and what we would describe as our paradigm, the way that I see me, the things that hold me back are the negative ways I see myself. So the amount of people that say things, oh, I can't do that. You know, I'll never be able to do that.
Yeah.
Which is virtually never true. Firstly, never true at all. It's like, so at some point, somewhere along the line, someone told you something, and then you took it into your paradigm and you owned it. So it could be that you're stupid, you're thick. It could be, you know, that you're fat. It could be that you're thin. You know, you've got goofy teeth. It doesn't matter what it is. As soon as someone has given you that and you've accepted it, then it's with you forever. Yeah. You know? And there's a fundamental psychological principle in this, which is also a principle of nature, which is what you feed grows and what you starve dies. If you keep feeding things inside you, then they get bigger. If you starve them, then they wither. Yeah. So the issue about going over, oh, I'm useless, oh, bag of crap, I am, can't do anything. Oh, God. And the more you rehearse that, the more you feel it. And the worst thing, as I said last week, I keep saying these things over and over, if you say something with your mouth, you hear it with your ears and you just reinforce it. So if you say, I can't do that, I'm completely useless, guess what? You're right. You can't do it. You are completely useless because that's what you said. That's what you've heard. That's just what you've confirmed. It's where you are.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been thinking about that just before we came on air. I chatted about this, but I've been fascinated by the fact that my local council has just put out another shout for help for helping assist families that are struggling to feed themselves at the moment, which is obviously mega serious stuff. And I'm not saying that we don't need that help. But what you feed grow and what you starve dies. There's been a ramp up of food bank use and like necessity in recent years, and it seems to be growing and growing and growing for obvious reasons. I guess it's crazy times. But how do we quell that demand for food banks? Because I'm just seeing as it's going up and up, and it's going to get worse and worse, and we're going to be more and more reliant on these things to the point where it's just seen as something. The goal has to be reduced. Food bank use, doesn't it? How do we get to that point where it just seems to be going up and up?
It has to be that people have enough resources so they can feed themselves, I guess. The issue is always going to be, there's a kind of a thing in human society that whatever it is will expand to fill the available space. It's a bit like you go through decluttering your house, which is fabulous. So now you've got more room left to clutter. So now you start cluttering it again, yeah? If you go to work, you can make the work that you got for the day fill the day. Whether you're doing really like half a job or a quarter of a job, you know, you can let that expand to fill the day, mm-hmm. yeah? So that I think in most cases, whatever it is will expand to fill the available space. It's a bit like a vacuum, you know, it sucks stuff in.
Yeah. You see that in my... my weird transport obsession. You see that in road building all the time. So the obvious thing from a transport engineer's point of view, if you've got a road full of cars and you need more space, is to add another lane. But yeah, it just induces more traffic, and it's, you know, within a year or two, it's full again. And it's really hard to get people to understand from arguments I've had on Twitter and, you know, with councillors, that you need to do the reverse. You need to contract the amount of space available to something that is not needed, which in this case is we want fewer cars. So you need to reduce the available capacity, which is a really hard thing to get for people to understand. And I understand why it's so tricky to argue it. But yeah, it's fascinating stuff. Everywhere in life, we see this stuff going on, don't we?
I can remember when I was traveling around the country a lot working, when they opened the M40, and when I was on it the first day they opened it. And for the first few weeks, it was empty. There was nothing on it. But within 2 or 3 months, it was absolutely crammed, solid, full. And I'm thinking, where did all these cars come from?
Yeah.
Because presumably they're not on another road that they would have been on. I don't know. Or maybe there were more cars out because of that. Because, now I can get to work quicker using the M40, so I use my car rather than the train or the bus.
Yeah. You know? So yeah, when I'm talking about transport here, we need to start reducing lanes and contracting how much space is there. But that principle applies to all sorts of areas in life, doesn't it? In fascinating, weird and wonderful ways.
Mm. Yeah. And that was one of the criticisms of the NHS, was that people's need for health support has expanded to fit the services that are available. So the problem is that the perception of it is that it always gets greater, you know, the demands on it get greater.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's crack on then. So yeah, tell me something good, Sean. What's all this about?
Well, it's the idea that thoughts become things. The things you think about, you bring about. You know, if you keep rehearsing the negative, then that's what you got. So the game we used to play on the course is tell me something good. You know, what is it that you can say that's positive? You know, so it could be, I've just broken my leg. Oh, well, I'm going to be able to finish all those books I haven't read for a while. You know, like, which way are we going to go with it? You know?
Yeah, this is something that, you know, this is a really good fun bit on the course, and I see it replicated, or when we were allowed to go to church. I used to go to church every now and then, and there was a bit at the start of the service where the minister would ask, you know, turn to the person near to you and say good morning, and it would just kick off this ripple of like positive energy, and then he would have to like say right everyone shut up now. You'd have to like he or she have to like properly interject and shut everyone up, because everyone's just so busy. Once you get that like that ripple effect.
Yeah, but we used to do a thing on the course, didn't we, where we would go round everybody and do like a baggage check. You know, okay, where are you up to? But it would be okay. Tell us what's positive, what's going on. Let's focus in on it. And I can remember being on the thing and someone saying to me, you know, what's good? What's good for you? And I said, oh, I've just got some oil for my mushrooms. And when you get the right oil for the mushrooms, they just taste so good. You know, they smell so good. Oh, it's amazing. And they all thought I was mad, but it's real for me. If I've got the right oil to do whatever I'm doing, whether it's a chili oil or, you know, whatever, it's really, really makes a difference. Yeah.
Right. So we're moving on.
And that can make me happy. Say that again.
Yeah, we moved on to self-esteem here. So what's this next step?
Well, this is the issue of, you know, how do I see me? So, I mean, one of the things that we'll come back to several times on this is my recommendation is that when you wake up in the morning, because we're used to seeing things negatively, most people wake up in the morning, the first thought of their mind is, oh, my God, not again. Drag themselves out of bed, drag themselves into work, and then it's the classic, oh, bloody hell, not here again. I bloody hate it here. And they do all that. And then someone says, won't be long, it'll be Friday. And then you're wishing away every week of your life. So I say, you've only got Saturday and Sunday. And they say, well, Sunday's dodgy because I'm winding up for Monday. And it's like, oh, my God, stop it. Yeah. So the trick is, first thing in the morning when you wake up, before you move, think of something positive. You know, whether it's the fact that you're in a warm bed, you've got a bed to be in, that's pretty good. You've got a duvet, you know, you've got a house, you know. I mean, all these things are positives that other people don't have, you know. So it's like, get as positive as you can. And then when you get out of bed and you go to the bathroom mirror, look yourself in the eyes and say, I love you. And actually get a bit of positive going. And usually people do that and they think, no, I don't, bloody liar, all that kind of stuff. But the more you work with it, Why do we look in the mirror and go, God, look at the state of you? Why don't we look in the mirror and go, wow, it's a Greek god or goddess? You know? And it's because we've learned to do it, you know, and it's like we've learned to have a negative self-image. Very few people have a positive self-image. You know, most people are too fat, too thin, too tall, too short, too this, too that, too the other. You know, rather than just being, I'm okay, you know, I like me. And one of the problems when you're a Brit is if someone says, oh, no, I really like myself, we think arrogant, you know, up their own arse. We don't actually allow people to be positive about who they are. So, Edward, what do you like about you?
Yeah, I think I'm all right at this stuff, actually. And I wonder whether it's because I've kind of subconsciously practiced it since we did the course all those years ago. What do I like? There's plenty of things I would change. I'm cutting my own hair at the moment, so I would probably, I'm looking forward to getting back to the barbers.
So you wouldn't like to be a hairdresser?
Well, it's tricky doing it yourself with a mirror, and I got a bit of help. I think I'm a pretty good person to know on the whole. I'm not perfect, but I quite like that about myself, that I'm not really going for perfection. I'm not sure it's even possible, but I scrub up okay, and I'm generally pretty helpful when people need a hand. I've got pretty good. What about yourself? What about you?
Well, my thing is, I try to live my mantra, which is, if we all look after each other, we'll all be all right. So I try and help who I can when I can, and to me, that's as good as it gets. If we all did that, we'd all be fine across the world, so I'm okay about me, and I know I'm a Greek god, because when I look in the mirror, I am a sex god. I'm amazing. What a hunk. Oh, it's incredible.
Even pre-moisturizer and ablution routine.
I think, how lucky is the world to have me here?
Yeah. but that bathroom mirror technique is a good one, isn't it? To go and rethink. You know, we all look in the mirror every now and again, and probably think, flipping heck, I need to brush my hair this morning, or. But there are different ways of looking in the mirror, aren't there?
Well, if you're Boris, when you go to the mirror, you don't tidy your hair. You go, so you look like a haystack. I mean, that's and he obviously feels good doing that. So good on him. I'm hope he looks in the mirror and feels good about having a good haystack head. You know, it's an important place to be. So look. We're looking at time to change and move on. You know, do you really want to carry on doing and being all the negative things you've been in your life? Or would you rather just get rid of them, let go of them, yes, you need to forgive other people and let go of that. Stop carrying it around. You don't need it. But also you need to check yourself out and let go of any negativity that you're holding about things that you've done. I mean, one of the things about my dear old dad, who I had to send the letters of forgiveness to because he wasn't the most positive person on the planet, so I would do that. But then when I came to do my list of people that I needed to apologise to, he's on that list as well, because, I mean, I'd spit in his tea and stuff like that and stir it up so he didn't know. I mean, there'd be that kind of... So I was doing negative things as well. So... I wasn't helping to defuse the negative soup. I was adding ingredients into it, so I needed to, within myself, acknowledge that and let it go. I've done negative things in life that I wish I hadn't, but I did. And it's no good holding it. I need to learn from it, let it go, and move on. That's the thing. It's time to change and move on.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about, we did the letters last week, really, and you don't have to send the letters as an important point. You can write them and not send them off to people.
I mean, sending letters off can be one of the worst things you can do. They're the letters that you don't send. Yeah. There are some people that you can talk to about this stuff directly. Depends on the nature of the relationship and their robustness, to be able to interact with you on it. But... most people, all you do is create or recreate the problem or make the problem even worse.
Yeah, there's a line here saying you cannot change other people, but is that an absolute fact? You can't. I mean, we can have influence on people, can't we? And we can nudge, and it's very hard to change people, but it's not impossible, is it?
But what you just said was you can nudge and influence, and yeah, you can do that. But the actual process of changing. And the decision to change is theirs. And yes, you may be nudged to do it. But sometimes it's a bit like when you go up to the roundabout and the rumble strips get closer together. So it makes you feel like you're going faster, so you automatically slow down. So you're being nudged into slowing down. But once you realise you're being nudged, you can think, oh, sod it, and put your foot down anyway. Yeah, and people do that. But yes, anybody can change, but the key is they have to want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess in lots of cases, it's not my job or my role to get other people to change. You know, it's not my work. It's the other person's work, really.
Yeah,
Go on.
No, I was saying last week we were talking about how it's hard to forgive other people, but this week we're talking about apologizing to yourself. We're at that stage of the conversation now. Do most people, how early on in their development do people that you work with realize that it's them that's the problem, not others?
Some people never do, which is sad. But the people that change most dynamically realize that issue, that it's never what happens to you that's important, it's how you respond to it. What happens to you may be out there, it may be other people's responsibility. How you respond to it is your stuff. Yeah. So the one that I always go back to, which I love, is the Paralympian. You know, someone's just blown your legs off. What do you do? Do you strap on kangaroo legs and go and turn it into something positive, or do you get negative? You know, but the amount of people that have said to me over life, oh, you know what, cancer is the best thing that ever happened to me. And you think, oh my God, right? But what it did was they had cancer, they survived the cancer, but it made them change their lives because it made them view things differently. They gave a different value to things for them. And that's a really powerful thing to experience, powerful thing to work with when you're working with people.
Yeah, I'll bet. I mean, I'm trying to think if I've ever forgiven myself for throwing the cricket ball in that lady's face. So I'm not sure I have properly, really. And I remember it was the first throw I did of three, and I remember that I did this weird technique, and it obviously didn't work. So the next time I threw the ball, for a start, I checked to see who was in my vicinity, like 180 degrees left and right. I also reverted back to a more like a standard way of throwing a ball, and it worked. And then I remember seeing the lady again the next week at another like weekend school event. I think it was a cross country run. And I'm not sure if I was only 9 or 10. And I think I did apologize, but it was more on my parents really to kind of check she was all right and again offer their apologies for their idiot son. I haven't seen her, you know, in years. I think she still lives around here actually, but I'm not sure if I've probably forgiven myself for that. I still think about it and cringe. So these things can stay with you, can't they?
Yeah. And very often they, because they're ratting in the back of the cupboard, we're not that conscious of them. You know, but what happens is someone does something like you did, and then many years later, they're playing with their own kids and they go to throw a ball and they can't kind of throw it properly because they're emotionally inhibited because of this stuff that's inside them that they haven't resolved.
Wow.
You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. Yeah. Okay, so it's time to write your list. Who do you need to apologize to? And that may go right back into childhood. It doesn't. There's no kind of limit on this. There may be people from yesterday or last year, but it may be when you were 4 or 5, 6 in the playground. You know, what did you do? And are there people that you would need to apologise to? But and again, you can't. You know, most people you cannot ring them up and apologise. You can't go and see them and apologise because it just makes it worse. You can't send them a letter because that makes it worse, but writing the letter allows you to process it from your cognitive head and your emotional heart, get it out there on the paper, then you can process it and get rid of it.
Yeah,
that's the simple.
Yeah, another childhood, probably from a similar era, actually. I remember getting a bit carried away with a mate of mine and with one of our neighbours who was a bit younger than me, and it had been snowing, and we destroyed his snowman with snowballs. And it really upset him. And he's one of my best mates. So, but I should probably just double check he's all right about that. And I might send another. I might actually send him a message after this and apologize once again, just to check he's all right with it. He's one of those things that lived with me, you know, forever and ever. And it just got carried away in the situation with a mate, got a bit cocky and what have you. And I remember getting really badly told off by his mum, and rightly so. Like, it was horrible. So I should just check in.
But we've all got that stuff. We've all done it, you know. And people that say, I haven't got anything like that, are people that haven't gone far enough back in the cupboard. You know, we've all done it in there.
Yeah.
You know? So we're talking about when you write the letters, you're letting go of your piece of elastic. That's the bit that's important. Yeah. And it's like you're holding that stuff about the lady with the cricket ball and the guy with the snowman. And it's like, what you're effectively doing is letting go of your stuff. Yeah. Now it could be at the other end that the woman with the black eye that you gave her would be thinking, well, I'm not forgiving him. I'm not, you know, and she's going to carry it to her grave. But that's her stuff. That's her decision. Yeah. You can't, that's what I mean about you can't change, but you can't change that bit. If she decides that's where she's going to stick with it, that's what she's going to stick with.
Yeah.
You know? All you can do is let go of your bit. And I mean, all the great religions say forgive those that trespass against us, yeah? But they include yourself in that. It's like repentance, you know, if you repent your actions, okay, clean slate, but you have to really repent them. It's not just a kind of a kind of word of mouth, yeah, I'm okay, it's fine, you know?
Yeah.
So the issue is, if you're going to write your letters, how are you going to let go of them? And we had all kinds of things. Do you remember the woman who said to me, could I meet her in Mould? And she said, could I say to everybody, I'll help you if you can. So she had shredded all her letters and put them in balloons with helium in. So we climbed to the top of Mould Van Mai Mountain with these big bunches of balloons, and she's letting them go into the sky one at a time. Can't do that now because we now know the balloons kill animals and birds, yeah, and stuff. But at the time, she's writing stuff on the balloons, letting them go. You know, we had one person who painted pictures and then burnt all the pictures. Wow. Picture for everybody. Yeah,
can't do that anymore. Yeah, we can't burn stuff now. That's
yeah, yeah. You know, we're limited. But I mean, what I think the thing that's important about this is making it a bit of a ritual, making it a bit of a ceremony, so yep. It's meaningful. So that if you're going to do it, the easiest way for me to, when I've done it, is I will read the letter out loud and commit it to a flame, you know, barbecue, whatever, and let it go. Because there's something about it burning that is just, it's all gone.
Yep.
You know, what was a solid letter is just ash. And that's...
You could bury it and let it biodegrade, but it's a bit more of a slow process, that, isn't it? But
yeah, and someone might dig it up in 100 years' time.
Yeah, could be quite incriminating. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get that. No, that kind of idea of having some kind of ritual around it is really powerful, isn't it? I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So and in the process of the course that as we were doing it, is that these two steps particularly are fundamental. You cannot get on with your life whilst you're hanging on to the past. Yeah. And most people try to, and then they mess things up and things don't go quite right because they're still holding the damage from the past. Now, if you can let it go, it means you travel forward and you're really light. You know, you put the baggage down, you know, things have changed. And as we turn around this corner from letting go of the past and start to move into getting into the present, the question that always comes up is, what do you want? What do you want? What do you really, 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 really want? What do you want? Because you can have what you really, really, really want, but there's things that you have to do to get it. You know, it doesn't just fall out. Because that was one of the problems with the book, The Secret. It made you feel like you could just go, oh, I really, really want to win the lotto this week, and it'll happen. And it doesn't actually happen like that. You know, you have to do something the world is consequential. There's a consequence to action. If you do things, something else is going to happen. You know?
Yeah, it was a ham sandwich you used to use as your metaphor, wasn't it? You know, if you want a ham sandwich.
I will have a ham sandwich. I will have a ham sandwich. Well, guess what? Unless you've got the ingredients in the kitchen, you ain't having a ham sandwich. You know?
Yes.
So. Yeah. And it is that kind of, you got to be realistic. Anybody can be a millionaire if you want to be. Just you've got to do certain things in certain ways to make it happen.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, and then that gets, we'll come on to all this stuff, I guess, further down the line. But
yeah,
being a millionaire, I guess, is something, it's probably something that's been on one of my goals lists along the way. But it's like, why? Why do you want to be a millionaire? And because you've got to have a reason to have that wealth to spend it on something, whatever. It could be anything you want. I'm not going to judge people on what they want it for. But just the fact of getting to be a millionaire is like, well, why?
You know? But one of the things that I've seen a lot is that people have this fancy of, if I had £1 million, life would be different. But all it usually means is that you pay off the mortgage, look after the few people around you, maybe have a holiday and get a new car. Okay, what do you do now? And one of the things, if you're sat at home in the garden, having a barbie, you know, by the fire, and you're actually in your moment, it doesn't matter whether in your bank you've got, you know, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, 1,000,000 in the bank. It doesn't change who you are in this moment now. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, we'll come on.
People think it will do.
Yeah. Now that's where it gets interesting, really. But yeah, so we've gone through step one and two, and we've hopefully, it might take you weeks or months to crack that stuff. But next step, moving on to attitude, and we're talking about gratitude, aren't we?
Yeah, attitude of gratitude. One of the easiest ways to be in the present is to be grateful. Because if you look around you and you see the stuff around you, and it's like, anywhere you look, there are amazing things to be grateful about, if you see it that way. Or you can moan about everything. And we've known lots of people that moan. Everything's a moan. One of my jokes is, I don't know whether I said it last week, is it's a reality. I had a nurse that won the lotto, and she was a miserable girl, God bless her. And there was a group of them. There were six of them, and I think they won $1.4 million each in a syndicate. Yeah, and she actually said to me, because she'd been moaning in a few sessions with me, and she came in and said, you never guess what was happening to me. What's the matter? I've only got to win the bloody lotto. I've got to worry about that now as well. and it was like, what a wonderful... I did offer to take it off her, but she wouldn't give it to me. She wanted to moan about it, yeah? But she didn't have that kind of gratitude. Like, wow, you know, I've got 1.4 million. What could I do with that? I could help other people. I could do all kinds of things. No gratitude.
So. Yeah, no, you're right. I like that idea of the gratitude being a bit of a life hack for just living in the present and having a general decent sense of general well-being. Just be grateful for stuff, because it's not hard to find things, even within like arm's distance of what I've got right now. There's loads of things that I can just kind of lift up and say, oh, that's cool. Even it's a cushion or a whatever. I'm in my bedroom, so it's just...
But the thing is, you haven't even got to go that far. I mean, you got clothes on, you know.
Yeah.
How on earth? I mean, how on earth did people work out how to make trousers? You know, you know what I mean? Or like a zip. Wow. Isn't that... Well, you just think, that's a zip. Oh, my zip's broken. But how amazing is it? Mm. You know? Yeah.
Incredible.
So look.
All right.
This is the deal. Keep working on the steps. Yeah. It's going to take you longer than you think. It always does. Yeah. There are some people that you could contact. So you could send people letters, and there could be calls or visits. And that's okay, as long as you don't re-energize any negative past. Like I say, there are some, like you said, your mate. Who's still a mate, you could actually talk to him about your snowman and just check him out. Yeah. But there are other people that if you send them a letter about their snowman, they go off their trolley at you. You know? So you have to be aware of that as you do it. Yeah.
Yeah,
and sometimes all you can do is just write the letter that you that you burn or whatever.
Yeah. I'll fill you all in next week if I remember to send him a message and let you know how it's how it went down, and whether I any kind of internal turmoil erupted in me mate. If he's been, you know, he might have been holding on to that for years, and it might have stunted his growth in all sorts of weird and wonderful ways.
He might have been through therapy and spent thousands of pounds talking about it.
Yeah.
He'll ask you for a contribution to the therapy.
He paid for your nice radiator back there, probably. All right, cool. So yeah, next week, step three. Keep an eye on the website for all the download for each chapter from the books and the meditation files. And yeah, get in touch with Sean if you've got any help. That offer still stands, hey?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And the one thing I say to everybody this week, remember the mirror in the morning. Get to that mirror, look yourself in the eyes and go, who loves you, baby? Yeah. And get a bit of positive going. And if you find it difficult, don't stop it. Keep doing it. Do more of it.
Yeah.
And the more difficult you find it, the more you need to do it until you can rebuild that part of your paradigm that has some self-esteem.
Yeah.
You know, I'm okay. I am worth the skin I stand up in. I'm fine. You know, it's good.
Rock and roll. Yeah. All right, Sean, you have a good week. We'll catch up again 1 week from now.
Okay.
Hey?
Yeah, we'll be on step three next week. Yeah, that's cool.
All right.
You take care. See you.
Later, everyone.
Bye.
See you, Sean. Bye.